dare to dream, dream, dream. Welcome to the Dare to Dream radio show. I'm your host, Deborah Dashinger. Join me every week as I interview inspiring guests from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds, all parts of the world, who had a dream and found a way to make that dream come true. Listen to this worldwide award-winning radio show every week and learn to dare to dream and make your dreams come true. Sit back and enjoy, and welcome. You can be anything, a rock star, beauty queen, fly with a broken wing, baby, if you dare to dream, dare to dream, dare to dream. You can have everything, playing on your 12-string, going for the brass ring, baby, if you dare to dream, dare to dream, dare to dream. Let your fears fade away and dare to dream.
Welcome to Dare to Dream. This is your host, Debbie Dashinger. Pleasure to be with you today. And what are your dreams? Where are your dreams? How are they coming along? And where do you need some help? Well, I'm going to be talking about a little bit of career coaching, but this is more what you can do that's less about taking that usual business action and more of an internal job to help you get there. Some really fun, easy ways to align yourself to get forward. And where are my dreams? Well, I got to tell you, starting next week, one of my big ones is coming true. You know, world travel is in my DNA. And as much as I've done, it's not been enough. It's been on my bucket list for years. So I'm going to 3 countries starting next week, and I cannot wait. I'm so excited doing all the front work. Where might I like to go? I mean, there's a level of spontaneousness about me and wanting the adventure and just going out there and having the experience. And at the same time, I like to do a little bit of work and understand a wee bit the country. I'm also trying to learn French right now, which is kind of ridiculous. I'm great at Italian and Spanish, and that seems to roll off my tongue well, but this French, whoa. There's some pronunciations I know are going to sound rather awkward once I get there, but I'm doing my best to get some lines down so that there's some ease when I get there and they know I'm really trying. I can't wait to eat the food and drink the wine. Mamma mia, it's going to be phenomenal. So yes, that's what's happening with my dream, and I feel like it's just the beginning, just the beginning. So later on, I'm bringing on Lisa Ryan, who's going to be talking about finding the upside of down times. And deeper than that, so many of my clients, the one thing they talk about is speaking. They want to do more speaking. That's something I started to do over a year ago, getting more and more up on stages around the world. And so I'm excited to have a nationally renowned expert who can talk to us about that. For all of you who have careers or interest in that, or also in seeing what she's doing out in the world speaking. So career coaching indeed. Here's some suggestions what you can do to assist yourself in some career coaching. First of all, invest in expertise. Like today, I'm having an expert come on speak about speaking. I say the shortcut to get anywhere is find someone who's doing it already out in the world in a big, awesome way and learn from them. So I can tell you, I have people come to me. Where do I coach? I coach authors how to become bestsellers. My company, yes, mybestsellerbook.com. I have authors who come to me from around the world, and I take their book to international bestseller for them. If that's something they say, I'm just not ready for someone to do that for me, but I want to do it myself, I have a product to do that, right? I'm the expert they come to. Same thing with messaging, how to message yourself out in the world. People come to MediaMasteryRadio.com, and I consult with people around the world who are already doing it out in the world but want to get even better or tweak where they are or just beginning. Very important. So anything I might do, let's say social media or marketing or websites for my career, I hire somebody or an assistant. I hire someone who is exceptional at what they do. We invest in expertise because once we have some capital, we bring in people who complement our skill set. So if you're weak with numbers, for example, then hire a part-time bookkeeper. It's worth the short-term hit to your budget because the right expert can create quantum leaps for you. And another secret, really, virtual assistants, month-to-month helpers who can take care of administrative tasks so we can focus on larger priorities, it's such an asset to us. And find one. Look them up at Upwork.com. Next, here's a suggestion. Build an emotional advisory board. When you team up with others around goals, we can reach our goals much faster. So basically, we round up a handful of accountability partners to provide group encouragement and help keep ideas moving forward. I will speak to that and say, when I wanted to speak, I had a lot of mental objections about getting on stage. I really felt God told me, go speak now. And I was like, seriously? I like being interviewed. I like being on camera. This is my sweet spot. I like the book thing. Seriously? But God said, come on. You've done this before. It's time to do this again. So, who's to argue with God? So I said, of course, I will listen to you. You must have the bigger picture. But even my objection slowed me down, so I found an accountability partner. And I committed that every day I was going to call or text, just very briefly, anything I had done to move me forward or anything that was going on that was notable, even if it was an issue. And what happened was within 3 months, I was able to write up what I was going to speak about. I got booked on several stages from Canada to the United States, and I was out there doing it 3 months later. Accountability partner. You don't want to show up with nothing, right? You want to have something. It's such an incredible asset. So what you can do is think former colleagues. Who might you call from? Or people from industry meetups? Or even your entrepreneurial neighborhood. Who's in that neighborhood that you know is a fellow entrepreneur, maybe operating a little higher than you, that you can look to connect with, to be accountable, and have them reciprocate. They can be accountable to you about something that's meaningful to them to create. And when people are sharing resources, that's a nice possibility for collaboration. Moral support is so important. The moral support it provides is just as important as financial information from an advisor. So we can really support each other this way. A third thing you can do is ask and learn. The quickest route to success is finding someone who's already achieved it and having them teach you. There are ways that we can do this online, by the way. Have you ever heard of Quora.com, Q-U-O-R-A? I'm a member there. You can look me up. Quora.com is really great. It's a question and answer site. It's a very popular forum. And entrepreneurs go there. Anyone goes there. Tech goes there. You can ask a question, answer a question as an expert. Where else? Etsy. Etsy has an internal team that educates sellers. Most people who have built a company are very sympathetic to those who are starting out. So you can go there and get connected. Even YouTube. YouTube has tutorials. Tutorials from your local chamber of commerce. They can help you too. They can help link you with those in the know. So there's lots of ways for us to do ask and learn, quick in and out for us to become more of an expert at what we do and be. Another idea, reveal your vision, ASAP. Reveal your vision. Don't worry about perfection. Just launch a prototype or a simple website, then solicit feedback. Most people just need to see something to understand it. I say it's better to launch in 3 months and feel the joy in your first 100 customers than to take 6 months and not have any nourishment. You need small victories along the way. And finally, let your mission be your map. Launching your project keeps you on track, allows your strategy and confidence to unfold naturally. So don't be afraid to say no to any opportunity that can take you off course. So much of my success has had to do with the things that I've said no to. It gave birth and room for the yeses. So trust your own instincts. Even if someone offers a great suggestion, remember, you're the one who's going to have to execute it. Trust yourself. So again, to summarize, invest in expertise. When you have capital, bring in people who complement your skill set. Next, build an emotional advisory board. Team up with others around goals. Ask and learn. The quickest route to success, find someone who's achieved it, have them teach you, use Quora, use YouTube, Etsy, local chamber of commerce, and anything else you already know that's available to you. Reveal your vision. Launch a prototype. Then get feedback. Have joy because it's out there, and the nourishment will come in the small victories. And finally, let your mission be your map. No one knows better than you your own strategy. It will unfold naturally. You can say no to things that will take you off course so that you can say yes to those that will propel you forward. Well, as promised, Lisa Ryan is on the show today. She's an award-winning speaker and best-selling author, a nationally recognized gratitude expert who works with organizations to keep their top talent and best clients from becoming somebody else's. Lisa has written 8 books, co-stars in 2 movies, and is president of the National Speakers Association Ohio chapter. To learn more about Lisa Ryan, go to Grategy.com. That's spelled Grategy.com. Lisa, welcome to Dare to Dream. It is great to have you today.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. It's great to meet you.
Thank you. I'm so looking forward to our conversation on finding the upside of life. And I'm going to start with, I liked watching your speaking demo on YouTube and getting to see the 3-minute vignette, or sizzle reel as we call it, of you presenting. So clearly you're very comfortable on stage. You're doing this to a large degree out in the world. You're a professional. How did you come to your great work and purpose?
First of all, it started with a dream from my very first Dale Carnegie class back in the late 80s.
Wow.
When I very first discovered professional development and I wrote my first goal list, becoming a professional speaker was on it, and that was 1989. Of course, I wrote it when I was 6, just in case, you know, all this, if your listeners are just doing the math. but it was a dream, but I never knew what I was going to speak on. I was in sales at the time, but I really wasn't comfortable speaking about sales as a career. I had done some network marketing, but again, it didn't resonate with me. And when I discovered, I started doing a gratitude practice with some friends as a result of going to a 4-day intensive seminar. And I started my gratitude practice, and I had such amazing results from it. And the message resonated with me to the core of my being, and I knew that was the message that I needed to bring. So the first thing is, don't make stuff up. You know, you don't look for the hot topic of, ooh, I'm going to speak about that and make a boatload of money. No, it's something that begins with you, that lights you up, because if it lights you up, it lights up your audience.
That's very cool. Lights you up. It lights up your audience. And you said that you started a gratitude practice and saw something profound happening. Can you describe what it was that shifted?
Oh, sure. It was kind of funny because we went to this, I went with 3 of my friends to this intensive. We did not sit next to each other so we could all have our own experiences. And on the way home, you know, we were pretty jacked up. You know, 4 days, yeah, you're excited. But we also knew that if we didn't take action, we would go back to where we were before. So we opened up a Facebook thread and was sharing things with each other, what we did, experiences that we had. And then one of my friends said, hey, why don't we write down 3 things that we're grateful for? And honestly, to this day, I don't know where that came from. He just said, why don't we write things down? And we started doing that. We held each other accountable. And within a very short period of time, I was in sales at the time, I had customers that I hadn't talked to for months that were calling me, hey, can you come in and sell me some stuff? Yes, I will be right there. There were two large healthcare facilities that I'd been calling on for close to 5 years that magically closed right around that time. I noticed the difference with my husband. Now, the funny thing about that is I never told him I was keeping a gratitude journal. You know, not that it was any big secret, but it was my thing, not his. And I noticed that he was becoming more verbally appreciative. Mm-hmm. All of these things were changing, and the only thing that I had really changed was this consistent practice of gratitude. So being in healthcare and being used to having to clinically document everything I ever said, that's when I began the research. And so 6 years later, close to seven years later, after reading, you know, books and probably thousands of white papers and reports and writing and everything else surrounding it, I learned so much about gratitude that it's not just this feel-good emotion that we associate it with, but there's so many things. What I was experiencing wasn't unique. It's something that you attract, and there's also a lot of science behind it, which was I thought was really cool.
Mm. So, and you're still using this to this date, so you're still experiencing this on your journey, that things are coming to you and opening up?
Yes, absolutely. I keep two different gratitude journals, and then I also have a nightly practice that I use when I can't fall asleep.
So your company name is Gratigy, which to me sounds like strategy plus gratitude, but I'd love you to explain that. How did you come on that name? What does it mean?
The first thing is the confession. When I first began my company, because my title that I gave myself, the cool thing that you can do when you own your own company, is I am Chief Appreciation Strategist. Well, my original company name was Appreciation Strategies. So imagine that mouthful. Mm-hmm. You're at a networking event. You go, hi, I'm Lisa Ryan, Chief Appreciation Strategist at Appreciation Strategies. Yeah, that took like 10 minutes to say. So a friend of mine basically and I got together one Friday afternoon, and we are basically mushing words together. We're looking at thanks, we're looking at gratitude, we're looking at thankfulness, you know, all of these different words, and trying to make up a word. And we did it for about 3 hours. It was a Friday, and I looked at Dick, and I'm like, you know what, dude, it's 5:30 on a Friday night. I got a date with my husband. I got to go. So I left, and Dick called me while Scott and I were, my husband is Scott, Dick is my friend, called me while we were at dinner. I'm like, did I just not leave you an hour ago? And Dick's like, it's gratitude. I'm like, oh my God, it's gratitude. I looked at my husband, I said, Scott, it's gratitude. And Scott's like, what's gratitude? It just, again, kind of like the gates open, the angels sing, because it was a word that I didn't have to do a lot of explaining about. And it really, again, shows that we can take the science behind gratitude and put together some very simple steps that when we do it consistently, it is transformational.
Okay, I love to get into the steps. So people are going through, well, I think it's very easy, obviously, good times to say, I'm so grateful, I had a great day, or I love my puppy, or I had a terrific walk, or I won an award. But tough times, how can someone shift up their perception or get into the groove of gratitude when things are going in a way that are uncomfortable?
Well, the thing is that it starts with that consistent practice. How I get most of my clients started is with my 30-day gratitude challenge, which basically for 30 days you're committing to writing down either first thing in the morning or last thing at night 5 things that you're grateful for, starting with the full sentence of I am grateful for, and then adding some detail to it. Because if every day you write down you're grateful for your house, you're grateful for your spouse, you're grateful for your cats, whatever, you know, that gets really boring. We don't process it because we don't see it in the detail. So if instead I'm so grateful that Scott cooked a great dinner last night, or I'm so grateful for, you know, watching Big Bang Theory with 3 kitties sitting on my lap. There's things that you can get into the habit of it. But how that helps you is that we look for gratitude every day, because it may not be, hey, I got a new job, I met the love of my life, whatever, these amazing things happen. It's, I'm so grateful the sun's out today. On days where you're having a bad morning, maybe it's, I'm grateful that I have running water and flushing toilets.
Yeah.
You know, the things that we take for granted, because what happens when we get in the habit of looking for the good, then when bad things happen, it's easier to take that moment, to take that step back and ask, okay, what can I find to be grateful for in this?
When you say that, I always notice in a third world country, you talk about running water and things like that, where that is not the norm, and there are not schools, or girls or even boys sometimes are pulled out of school, or there's not even a school around, or pencils. That for them to get an education, it's unbelievably meaningful and important, whereas in this country, in the United States, where this is total access to this if we choose, still we have access to it. And there's a whole different way for kids to take a look at education, maybe not that big a deal. But to people who don't have, there's a level of gratitude for receiving it. And I think that's a really interesting juxtaposition.
Right, it is, because we take so much for granted in this country of just the miracle of having running water, having clean water. You know, the things that we take for granted. One of my favorite websites that I like to point out in my programs is called globalrichlist.com. Mm-hmm. And basically what Global Rich List does is you can take an amount of money, you know, the money that you make, and you put it in this website, and it tells you where you rank in the world as far as your wealth. Well, in the United States, 2016 poverty level is $11,880. So we in the United States feel that anyone that makes less than $11,880 is the poorest of our poor in the country. And yet, when you take that figure and you put it in Global Rich List, you find out that you're actually part of the 14.54% of the wealthiest people on the planet. Our poorest people in this country would be living in the lap of luxury anywhere else in the world. And those are the things that I'm saying, that the little things, the big things, the miracles, the everyday miracles that we take for granted, when we start really looking at the things that we have, instead of always focusing on what that next is, what our future looks like, what we don't have now, that's when miracles start to happen.
Awesome. Miracles. Love that word. So let's finish with what you started us on, because I know there's people going to want to do this. This is a 30-day challenge. You said five things you are grateful for, and get into some specifics. And what else should we know?
And I actually have the five thank yous a day, which I like, some people like to shake it up. Maybe they don't want to keep a gratitude journal. So there's actually five different ways that you can find to get thanks. If you need five of these in a day, it's great. Number one, to write it down in your gratitude journal. You write down five things you're grateful for, you're good. There's the verbal thank you. There's, you know, actually saying it out loud to somebody, sincerely, thank you. There's the thank you note and the letter of appreciation. And again, in the world, according to Lisa Ryan, the thank you note is thank you for something. Thank you for the dinner. Thank you for the gift. A letter of appreciation, on the other hand, goes deeper of thank you for being in my life for these reasons. This is what I appreciate about you. So a little bit different. And then the fifth way is to just really focus or meditate on gratitude for 5 minutes. But the easiest way, the gratitude journal, again, takes less than 2 minutes. First thing in the morning is nice because you can be grateful in advance. For example, this morning I wrote down, I'm so grateful that that I rocked the interview with Debbie today. That's that positive
awesome.
Expectation. At night, if you choose to do your gratitude journal at night, you look back on the day and find five good things that happened during the day. Now, you know, we all have bad days. So after a particularly horrific day, you know, if you really make yourself come up with five good things that happened, number one, you will always find them. And number two, it will help you sleep better, because gratitude research shows that people that have that practice of gratitude are actually not only awake less time before they fall asleep, they sleep more soundly, and they awaken more refreshed. So instead of watching that stupid 11 o'clock news that, you know, we shouldn't be subjecting our subconscious mind to right before we go to bed, but we have that gratitude practice that keeps us in the positive flow and keeps our mind clean before we invest in our sleeping.
So Lisa Ryan is challenging you to a 30-day challenge. Five things you're grateful for, and you can do five thank yous a day. She said write a thank you in the journal, or a verbal thank you to someone, and or thank you note, or letter of appreciation. You can focus and meditate on gratitude for 5 minutes. I actually really love this one. The bookending the day, specifically gratitude in advance, to set an intention of gratitude for something that works out well for you at the beginning of the day, and then at night, the reflection, and she's saying it will help you sleep better. 30-day challenge, Lisa Ryan, Gratigy.com. I say we're in. We're about to go to break. You're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. Sign up for free newsletters with show replay links, inspiring videos, and upcoming events at DebbieDashinger.com. And also, join us on Facebook. We love to hear from you at Dare to Dream Radio and TV.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
What if you were willing to nurture and care for you? What if you could open the doors to being everything you have decided is not possible to be? Have you always known you're different from the people around you? If you've been seeking something else is possible. To receive more on Access Consciousness, go to tinyurl.com/access change. Is this the change you've been looking for? tinyurl.com/access change.
MyBestsellerBook.com helps you self-publish and you keep all the royalties. Even if your book is already published, MyBestsellerBook.com will help you become a best-selling author. Your book will be promoted to a large global following. Enjoy a press release and book reviews. Make your next book launch bigger and better. MyBestsellerBook.com has long-term client credibility and 100% success in turning books into bestsellers. MyBestsellerBook.com.
What is forgiveness like in your life? Is there someone right now that you need to forgive? Project Forgive is changing all that, teaching you how to skillfully forgive and finally get that freedom. Go to www.projectforgive.com. It's time you freed yourself and freed your dream. You're listening to Dare to Dream.
Welcome back. Debbie Dashinger here, speaking with Lisa Ryan on Dare to Dream. Lisa, what are three things that you see speakers do that absolutely sabotages their efforts? Three things that are killers for a speaker.
Number one, they think that having a decent speech is enough. They think that if they have a decent speech, then basically they can sit at home and wait for the phone to ring. It is work. It is getting off your butt, speaking at any time, to any reason, to any group, paid, not paid, doesn't matter at the beginning. Audio and video record your program so that you can see what you're doing and really tailor your talk. The second one is when you see a good speaker, of assuming that it's easy and wanting to sit down with that person and, you know, quote unquote, pick their brain. Please stop asking speakers to do that. You know, not that we don't love you and want to help you, but keep in mind that our time is so precious because of the amount of time that we spend on the road and, you know, being at home with our family or getting caught up on our work. When we do have the time to be back in the office, we don't always have time to make it. So if you want to get ideas or share some ideas with a speaker, see how that they've done things, be okay with a phone call. And the third one is they don't get involved. They don't invest in yourself. In themselves. You had said during your opening about how important it is to look for the experts in your field to do what you are doing. I have hired coaches, I've hired VAs, I've hired contractors, you know, for VAs and Upwork. I love Upwork, so I'm glad you talked about them, of being able to get off some of the administrative work that, you know, my time's not necessarily the best doing that. But, you know, working with coaches for specifically, I hired one coach just to help me with my platform skills. I hired one coach just to help me with product development. I hired another coach to help me with back-of-the-room sales. So you're very specific in what it is you're looking for, and you're willing to make an investment in yourself, because speaking, it is not an easy profession to get into, nor is it an inexpensive profession to get into. You will spend a lot of money building your speaking business because if you're doing it the right way. And when you do that, you're cutting years off your learning curve. You can do it cheap and free, but you will expand the amount of time that it takes you to experience the same success that if you make your investments early.
What are the things that it takes, when you say it takes money to build this career, and I totally understand what you're saying about the importance of hiring the team, investing in yourself, and hiring the right people to do things, it propels you forward so quickly. Absolutely. And when you say it takes money, it's not an inexpensive career, what specifically do people spend money on as a professional speaker?
Well, coaching is number one. I think the first thing when I wrote my first book, basically I wanted to be an author. And the quickest and easiest way for me to do that was to be in an anthology. An anthology is a pay-to-play type of investment where basically I paid money to co-author a book with a megastar, and I wrote a chapter. So instead of having to write 40,000 words, I got to write 6,000 words, and I was a published author. That cost money. Working with coaches, obviously, but even things at the beginning of getting opportunities to speak around the country, for a lot of times with association meetings and with different things, unless you're the keynote, you don't get paid. And we're starting to see more and more associations that not only do you not get paid, but they also want you to pay to attend the conference. So as far as your airfare, your hotel, you know, we get our ego out of the way. It's rare that I speak for free anymore. But there are times that if I have a national association that wants me to speak and they don't have a keynote segment, they have a breakout, and it's my ideal audience, and maybe they'll just cover my expenses or a portion of my expenses, I look at that as, number one, anything out of pocket is a tax write-off, and number two, it's giving me the opportunity to get in front of my target market that then I can sell to later on or build relationships with later on. So it's kind of getting our ego out of the way that, ooh, I must get paid everything. No, we look at the whole picture of who's in that audience and how is speaking. You know, there's the National Speakers Association has a book called Speak More. And basically what that means is that if you want to speak more, basically speak more. speak anywhere and everywhere that you can, just to get that practice, just to get that comfort level down with your audience so that you're giving them a good product and you're worth the money that you're asking.
You know, I love what you're addressing, and it's very interesting because when I first started in the speaking world myself, people, you commanded a price, $5,000, $15,000, you know, and it was different things of if you're a keynote or if you're on a panel or if you were going to be flown out, and it was a whole sort of catered event you were taken care of as a speaker. Of course, the whole business is turned around. Then there became this, you would speak for free, you'd fly yourself to the hotel and attend the whatever the conference or event was, and then you would have something towards the end, the last 10 minutes that you would build up towards after giving tons of content, and then you'd say, and for anyone who's ready to move forward or is interested in working more specifically on this with me or through a program, here's what's available. So called, you know, speak to sell, basically. So what is
right.
your take with all of that? Where are we at today? What is being on stage about today? Not paid. How do you make money? Is there a back end? Is there a back room?
Sure. Well, one of the most valuable pieces of advice that somebody gave me at the very beginning of my speaking career was to build a list. Build a list. Start collecting names. I mean, I don't care if it's a Rotary. I don't care if it's Kiwanis, you know, a chamber, whatever it is. But the thing is that people are very selfish with their email addresses because nobody wants to receive a boatload of crap in their email box every day. So we're looking at, you know, don't take somebody's business card and put them on your newsletter list for the love of goodness. Please don't do that. But you're looking for something valuable. For example, when I speak, they get my special report, depending on the audience, 101 awesome ways to say thank you or 101 amazing ideas to elevate employee engagement. They also get gratitude thought of the week, which I promote as a short inspirational message that comes out exactly when you need it. And what I started to do is if I'm doing an hour program, I'll actually record using Camtasia a 15-minute kind of a cliff note version of my talk because I'm no longer using PowerPoint. So this gives them a tangible MP3 file that they can share with others. So I'm giving them great value for them to give me their email address. And then basically because of gratitude thought of the week, they're hearing from me every week. Some of these people have been on my list now for 6 years. And when they need a speaker, I'm top of mind because I'm a reply away. But I've built those relationships from that very first Rotary meeting to today. And now I'm connected with an organic list of people that has heard me speak and knows what I do. Aside, and then all the referrals, of course, that they pass on that grows my list. But it's figuring out something that you can give people. You know, the proverb of the more you give, the more you receive. In speaking, that's absolutely true. You're giving, 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 giving. Because when people say, wow, if she's giving me that content for free, I wonder what her paid stuff is like. Mm-hmm. And you're building connection by giving to people.
That's brilliant. So just to reiterate what Lisa said, where speakers kill and sabotage their efforts is, one, having a decent speech is not enough. Remember, it is work. And two, don't approach great speakers and ask if you can pick their brain. Their time is precious. Hire them instead if they're hireable. Three, hire team experts. Invest in yourself. She says speaking isn't an easy profession. It does take money to build it. So do get coaching and do speak wherever you can, even for free. It's all about building relationship. And finally, she says, build a list, collect names. The more you give, 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 the more you'll receive. People will really notice your content and be more excited about buying what you have to offer because it'll be clear the content that you deliver. So if that's true, Lisa, then three things you know as a speaking expert that absolutely turns a speaker's efforts into massive success. Three things that are winning actions or behaviors for a speaker.
It comes to, making it about the audience. I think one of the best things that I've done recently was to stop using PowerPoint. I used to use PowerPoint as the excuse of, oh, it keeps me on track, but it was little by little. First I said, okay, if a program's less than 30 minutes, I'm not going to use PowerPoint. And then if it's less than 45 minutes, and now, you know, an hour and a half keynote, I can go without PowerPoint. And it's just so funny because the meeting planners will be like, well, are you going to send me your materials? And when I email them back and say, I'm not using PowerPoint, what I normally get is, wow, that's a refreshing change. Because if you think of people, yeah, they're going to a three-day conference, and every single session that they're in, PowerPoint, 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 PowerPoint.
Yes.
What happens is that when you're using PowerPoint, the slides dictate where
that's
the conversation
right.
goes.
And where your attention goes is the audience. It's constantly
yeah.
back and forth and back and forth. That's very disengaging. I love that point.
Yeah, it's a conversation. You know your material, you're comfortable enough to use it, but because you've spoken so many times, you know, you know how to work an audience, you know how to engage an audience. You can tell when you're starting to lose them
yeah.
of what can I do, what story, who can I call on, what conversation can I go, but you're not, the slides aren't dictating.
Okay.
So making it about the audience is number one. Having a great speech. I mean, having a speech that knocks it off, that blows the audience's mind. Because again, you know, we look at the quality of speakers that are on the market. I mean,
okay.
TED Talks is becoming our new, the new standard to which we're rating people, and they're amazing.
Right.
So what can you do to tighten up your content? What can you do to be a thought leader and not a thought repeater? What makes you different? You know, and again, finding that message that you have some experience around. You know, there are people that are speaking about leadership and have never been a leader. So what is it that with the skills that you have that you can bring that thought leadership with you so that you're setting yourself, you're differentiating yourself from every other speaker because of a particular experience that you have?
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that sets me apart is, you know, every motivational speaker on the planet talks about gratitude at some point, but I've built basically my whole speaking career around that concept and took it corporate because where I look at what I speak about when I speak to corporate audiences is employee engagement, retention, recognition.
Right.
When employees feel appreciated, they're more engaged, which leads to higher productivity, blah, blah, blah. So I took a idea, gratitude, that worked for me that I told you went down to the core of my being, and I said, well, that's a great message, but what is the message that people will pay for? Because they're not going to pay for gratitude in corporate America. But what they will pay for is employee engagement, retention, recognition.
Mm-hmm.
So we can take our message and we can figure out how we can bring that message to our target audience in a way that they value and that they compensate us for.
Wow. I am taking notes. This is a master class. This is why I love this show. Thank you. Thank you for delivering, Lisa Ryan. So she said the three things for winning as a speaker, make it about the audience. She's stopping the PowerPoint, so she's really connecting and engaging with the audience. She says make a great speech, something that blows the audience's mind. The litmus test today is about TED Talks. It's the new standard. And she recommends you be a thought leader, not a thought repeater. And take your message, whatever it be, and incorporate it back to the audience so you're providing value for what they're looking for. And one really quick question before we go to break, and you could do a soundbite if you want, but as you know, I rep authors. Right? And all the authors that come to me, they also get strategy calls with me. And the one thing I find when I say, what haven't you created that you really want to create? And they say, well, I've been speaking, but I really want to exponentialize. Like, I really want to make my speaking career big and take this book and really parlay it out there. So, traveling the world, speaking, all of that, what do you recommend to all of my clients who say that over and over that they want to create speaking into their main dream from their book?
from their book, Go Out and Speak. Number one, do not quit your day job. make speaking part of it. Try to figure out how to speak as part of whatever you're doing full-time, whatever you're doing that's bringing income in. I was in healthcare, and one of the things I did was continuing education classes. I did that as part of my career. But it really is, and it's being patient. It's giving yourself time to know that this is not something that's going to happen in 6 weeks or 6 months. I mean, it might not happen for 3 years or 5 years or whatever, but it's making the investment and giving yourself a break, because there are, you know, really every time you speak, to take a look at what did I do well, what can I do better next time. Assess each and every time and get better each and every time.
Okay, folks, so speak as though it's part of your job. Speak anywhere and be patient. This is Debbie Dashinger and Dare to Dream Radio. Join me on Twitter. Go to my name, Debbie Dashinger. And stay right there. I'll be right back.
Radio sells with immediacy. Radio sells everywhere. Radio is the cost-effective medium. Go to ads@debbiedashinger.com. Reach is nice, but frequency is better. You're always on the front page with Dare to Dream Radio. It's an award-winning program syndicated on over 60 radio stations. Advertise and sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio show for optimal advertising results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com.
From the moment you enter Rejuvenate Medical Spa, it is clear that all of our products and services are designed to maximize your physical image from head to toe with the miracles of today's contemporary aesthetic procedures. RejuvenateMedical.com can enhance your best features and correct imperfections. Call Rejuvenate Medical Spa with questions or to schedule a free consultation and be on your way to a more beautiful, more confident you today. View our online specials now at RejuvenateMedical.com.
Talk radio is the most effective way to promote a book, business, product, or personal story. Done correctly, radio interviews will open doors. MediaMasteryRadio.com offers training and media strategy. At MediaMasteryRadio.com, learn to message yourself. Get results when you are interviewed, such as sales, followers, speaking gigs, and new customers. Programs, products, workshops, and private sessions at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
What books are you reading? Are you ready for a must-read? Winner of the Inspirational Book of the Year Award and International Bestsellers, Dare to Dream, This Life Counts by Debbie Dashinger, as well as the acclaimed Wisdom to Success, The Surefire Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams. Buy the books from Amazon today. U.S. Book Review and Writer's Digest said these are critics' picks. By Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream and Wisdom to Success contain gems to live your life by.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream. I'm here with Lisa Ryan. And Lisa, Corporate Event Speaker of the Year, serving a second term as President of the National Speakers Association in Ohio. Amazing. I got a fun question for you. Is it true that you had a career as a television actress, a host, a reporter, and a producer?
I would have to say at different times, probably all of the above.
And you assumed the title of Miss California?
No.
Different Lisa Ryan.
That is, you know what, that is so funny because, yeah, when I first started my career, there is the other Lisa, Dean Ryan, who was on the 700 Club. So she is the Miss California. I would have been the corporate event speaker of the year in Cleveland, Ohio. So, yes. And it took me a while. She's got her own Wikipedia entry, but on the first page of Google, I'm giving the other Lisa Ryan a run for her money.
Oh, good girl. And I think you got to claim it. Miss America, get out of my way here.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's when you have a common name.
That's right. You know, we can look you up. We can Google you and find, like, amazing facts.
Exactly.
Well, how about 20-plus years of sales, marketing, and training under your belt? That's true?
Yes. Yes.
Do you use that today? Is that something you were able to parlay from your previous profession into your speaking profession today?
Oh, my goodness. I thank God every day for my speaking background. I spent the first third as an executive recruiter. I spent the second third of my career in industrial sales. I was actually in the welding industry. And I spent the third part of my career in healthcare. So what that did is it gave me the opportunity to speak to everybody from a maintenance manager to the CEO of a hospital. But being in sales, it also helps me to pick up the phone, to be able to sell a product, which at this point is selling me. Sales is a huge part of building a speaking industry, because if you don't think that you're in sales, number one, you are. We're all in sales. And number two, if you're not willing to do sales, it's going to be really hard for you to build a speaking business that's successful.
And let's get a little personal. So some questions, some fun questions. If you could go back and say anything, Lisa, to your 16-year-old self now, what would it be? What would you say?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, when I was 16, I've been working since I was 14 years old, you know, having jobs at the mall and everything. I always thought that I would, just get a job out of high school, and instead I decided to go to college. I probably would have gone to college right out of high school. I was the first person in my family to ever go to college. There was never any importance placed on it, and I never thought I needed it until I went into the workforce. And basically, I worked on my degree. I was on the 14-year plan. I ended with an MBA, you know, but I think it would have been a little bit easier, and I sometimes regret not having that college experience of going through that. But really, out of everything else, it's probably the only thing that I can say that there's a little bit of regret. And it's not even big regret, because everything that I've done in my life has led me to exactly where I am today.
And this year, we're 3/4 of the way through the year. What is the most important thing you've learned this year?
This year, I traveled a lot. I was on the road most of the year, and I was doing a lot of training. Besides my own business, I also work with a couple different contract training companies, which is basically working, you know, doing other people's training programs. And although it's been good for having a consistent income, what I found is that I'm missing a lot. I've been missing sleeping in my own bed. I've been missing spending time with my husband and having lunch with my friends. And for the end of this year and into next year, I'm actually looking more on how I can bring a portion of my business more local, do more consulting, have more relationships. Because sometimes as a speaker, it's a lot of one way. You know, you get speakers high, and it's awesome, and it's great to be on the stage, and then you leave, and you don't have that same connection. When I was in sales, I was always on where I was building relationships and making friendships and basically calling on my friends all day. And I've really taken a look at that and saying that where I want my speaking business to go is when I'm traveling to really be looking at upping my fees to a level where I can speak less and make my time on the road more valuable, mm-hmm. but also look at building a portion of my business here local so I can have those relationships that I crave and work with organizations to make a difference over the long run.
So traveling has taught you actually the importance of being here more, connecting more with family, and creating a career, making some switches and tweaks so that it can accommodate better, more finances, less traveling, and more being in Ohio and doing the great work
right.
you do.
You know, when you think about traveling, it really sounds glamorous until you do it. And being on airplanes, a couple weeks ago I got the privilege of sleeping on the floor at the Minneapolis airport on a bed mat with a tiny airport pillow and blanket. So it's part of what we do, and we look at both aspects. I love having status everywhere and on all the hotels and on the airlines that I use and everything, and it also leads me to appreciate being home even more. So we look at both ends of the spectrum, and they're both good, but we need that balance.
Yeah. Boy, do I hear you. When I said I aligned to speak, and I was suddenly out there, Canada, this place, that place, and domestically, and I had, when I finally landed, like physically landed back, I had never been so grateful to just be home. I felt like Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz. There is no place like home. And I really meant it, you know. And it was amazing just to look at little simple things. But truly, you know, for anyone who is a nester or really just needs to be grounded that way, I really get that appreciation. And we are coming to the end. This is Dare to Dream. Lisa, what are you next, Dare to Dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
The thing that's nice about it is that I'm really doing what I love to do. I'm doing what I'm dreaming of doing. I will continue to do this. My dream is to have the balance, and actually in 2017, I'd like to speak internationally at least once or twice of places that I want to go. And in an ideal, perfect world, to have my husband with me to travel the world so that we can see the world, we can have adventures, and get paid for doing what I love to do.
And how can people who want to work with you, what do you offer? Do you coach for speaking? What can we do with you? Because we're loving you right now.
Thank you. I actually do group coaching. I do consulting work and then my speaking. Speaking programs run anywhere from the 20-minute TED type of talk to hour and a half keynote. I also have full day and half day and full day programs where we can really deep dive with lots of activities and interaction of creating that culture of appreciation in the workplace. From the corporate, I focus on the employee engagement, my sales audience on client retention, client engagement, and for general groups, you know, the things that we talked about with that power of gratitude. So how do we take a look at gratitude from the self, the health benefits, relationship with others, and wealth? That's my show talk, Self, Health, Others, and Wealth. It's also one of the foundation of my book, The Upside of Down Times, Discovering the Power of Gratitude. So gratitude.com is a great place to learn about what I do. My email is lisa@gratitude.com, and I personally answer all of my emails. I love to hear from listeners and just people who have had experiences with gratitude and want to connect.
Awesome. I end today's show with this quote from Albert Einstein. When you examine the lives of the most influential people who have ever walked among us, you discover one thread that winds through them all. They have been aligned first with their spiritual nature and only then with their physical selves. You can subscribe to my YouTube videos at youtube.com/DebOnTheRadio. If it's time for you to become an international best-selling author and you want the job done for you and get big results, go to mybestsellerbook.com. And if you want to get your business offerings, immediate appearances selling out, get your messaging on, and get a waiting list just by using media and messaging yourself correctly, go to MediaMasteryRadio.com. Remember, share this show with your friends. Thanks for joining us today on Dare to Dream. The secret of success is having the courage to begin in the first place.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to DebbieDashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at DebbieDashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to DebbieDashinger.com. That's www.DebbieDashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing.